Let us pray, and then we will turn our attention to the sermon. Father, we pray in this time and in this moment that you would be with us. Father, we pray that you would help us to hear your word this morning. You would give us ears to hear and hearts that are receptive to your word, Father. We pray that your Spirit would take your word and apply it to us to conform us more to the image of Christ for your glory. And Lord, we pray through all of this that the Lord Jesus is honored. It's in his name we pray. Amen. If you take your copy of God's word and turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, we are at the halfway point of this wonderful gospel. And really, we are entering into the final week of the life of Jesus. And this morning, we're going to see that there's going to be much honor given to the Lord Jesus for who he is. We live in a world that gives honor to people for different reasons. We could think about many of those. Here's a few for us to consider. One is at a wedding. We honor a bride and groom to celebrate their wedding day and their matrimony, God bringing them together. And we all know what it's like to be at a wedding, to stand in reverence for the bride to walk down in honor of her, to come down to meet her groom. We honor students who graduate high school and college of a great achievement by God's kindness to them, and we celebrate that by honoring them. We give honor in our culture to athletes for winning different awards and being the best in their abilities of their sport. And we do honor our soldiers of our country who fight and protect our freedom and for the right to be able to worship the Lord freely each and every Sunday. We give honor to many different people in our world. And this morning we're going to see that the greatest honor that we can give is to the Lord Jesus. We're going to see that in verses 1 through 19 in two different, very familiar stories. One that Miss Peggy just sang about, where Mary is going to come and pour out oil to the Lord. And then we're going to see another with the triumphal entry where the crowds shout, "Hosanna to the Lord Jesus." We see this private and this public devotion and honor giving to the Lord, for he is worthy of all of our praise. And so my prayer this morning as we walk through this text together is that we would walk away seeking to leverage our lives more to honor the Lord Jesus, who is worthy of all of it. So I'm going to ask if you would stand with me as we read John chapter 12, verses 1 through 19. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving. But Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people?" Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore, Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The large crowd of Jews then learned that Jesus was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." These things his disciples did not understand at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then he remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. For this reason also, the people went and met him because they heard that he had performed this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are not doing any good. Look, the whole world has gone after him." Father, we ask in this moment once again to be with us, to lead us, to guide us by your Spirit according to your word to all truth. Help us to see the beauty of our Savior this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, both of these stories are familiar to us if you have been around church for some time, but let's make sure we remember the context of what's happening here in John's gospel. This is on the heels of Jesus performing a wonderful miracle and sign of raising Lazarus from the dead. And last week, we looked at John 11, 45 through 57, where the Pharisees and the chief priests were upset that Jesus did this wonderful sign. And so they conspired together and came up with a plan to put the Lord Jesus to death. That was their plan. They were saying, soon Passover will be here. He will have to come into the city in order to fulfill and uphold the Old Testament law of observing the Passover. So he will be here. We need to be on the lookout. And when he comes, we're going to kill him. This is our great plan. So that was how chapter 11 ends, and chapter 12 begins this way. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. This is about 2 miles out of Jerusalem. And he was there, it says, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So all of this is heading and getting closer to the death of the Lord Jesus, as we'll see in this passage, as well as the rest of John's gospel, is full of this desire to get to the cross for Jesus to fulfill the plan of God. John's gospel is interesting because half of the whole gospel, is devoted to the last week of Jesus' life. The rest of the Gospels, Matthew has 40% of his Gospel given to the last week of Jesus' life. Mark dedicates about 60%, and Luke is about 1/3 of his Gospel dedicated to 1 week of Jesus' life. When you read modern biographies today, most people like a well-balanced biography from the birth to the death of a person, and they want it equally spread throughout. But here, these are not normal biographies. These are inspired accounts by the Spirit of God. And John wants us to make sure that we don't miss the fact that this week in the life of Jesus is the most significant and the most important, because he is on his way to the cross. But before that, here, 6 days before the Passover feast, verse 2 tells us he finds himself at a dinner. It says they made a supper for him. This is Mary and Martha and Lazarus and others. They're celebrating what Jesus has done on behalf of Lazarus. It tells us in verse 2 that Lazarus was there reclining at the table, sitting there with Jesus. That's a remarkable statement because a few weeks before this, Lazarus was dead and in the grave. And Jesus raised him back to life, and now he's sitting here dining with the Lord Jesus. And they are celebrating Jesus by giving him this supper. So you have this picture here. You have this picture of this honor giving to the Lord Jesus for this supper. And you have Lazarus there and Mary and Martha. A family that it says in John 11 that Jesus loves deeply. He cares for them deeply. You have the disciples who are here as well. And then all of a sudden, verse 3, it says this, Mary, She took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of her perfume. In Luke chapter 10, there's an account where Martha is busy working and seeking to serve, and Mary is there sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus tells Martha, it's okay, Mary has chosen the good. And here again is a picture of Mary seeking out the good to worship the Lord Jesus in the midst of everything that is happening. We look at this story, and we love it, and we celebrate it, and we think what devotion she had and worship and honor she had to the Lord Jesus. But in all reality, taking very expensive perfume and pouring it on someone's feet and taking your hair and wiping their feet with your hair was not something that was normally done on an everyday basis. It would have seemed in some ways a little strange that Mary was to do this. We'll find that out in just a little bit where Judas and then the disciples, according to the other Gospels, are looking, thinking, why would Mary take this perfume and pour it out? It tells us that in verse 3 that this is costly perfume. This was imported from India. This cost a year's worth of wages. We live in a day where we talk about inflation and how much things cost, and I'm not sure how many of us would be willing to take something as valuable as that that cost a whole year's worth of wages and pour it out in a matter of just seconds and minutes. And yet, Mary does this. She takes this and she pours it out on Jesus' feet and wipes his feet with her hair. This is a humbling thing for Mary to do. Why? Because in this culture, in this day, even the servants would not stoop down to do anything with the feet of their master. This is leading us even to chapter 13, where Jesus, in just a couple of weeks, we'll see where Jesus will, after a supper, take a towel and stoop down and wash the disciples' feet, serving them in a great act of humility, pointing once again to the cross. Even John the Baptist himself says, I'm not worthy to untie the sandal of the Lord Jesus. This is a great act of humility by Mary. And yet, not everybody understands. Not everybody gets what's happening. And in all reality, if we were sitting there, we too might think, Mary, what are you doing? This is a little weird, a little awkward. We were just enjoying dinner, and all of a sudden, you take this valuable perfume, you pour it out, now the whole place smells like perfume, and you wipe Jesus' feet with your hair. Judas is bold enough to say something about this, and John's going to tell us why it is Judas would be so upset. But the other Gospels also tell us, Matthew's Gospel at least tells us, that the disciples were saying the same thing, even though John was going to tell us that Judas has a bad heart. Verse 4 says, Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him. So John wants us to make sure Judas isn't going to get off easy with what he's about to say. It says this, why was the perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people? And he says in verse 6, now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. The other disciples, again, according to Matthew and Mark, they think the same thing. This is expensive perfume. We could have sold it. We could have served a lot of people. We could have helped a lot of people. They didn't quite understand what Mary was doing. But Judas says that, but that's not his true intentions. I think that the other disciples really were thinking, genuinely, this would have been really valuable for us to sell and help out those who were in need. But Judas says that, but John tells us he was going to betray Jesus and he was a thief. He really wanted some of the money for himself. He wanted to sell this expensive perfume and take some of the money because it says he kept the money box and he would take some off the top when it was given. Jesus' ministry was supported by those who believed in Jesus and gave money to him and the disciples so that they could go about doing ministry and doing evangelism and preaching the good news of the gospel. And Judas was responsible as the treasurer to keep the money. But John says, looking back, we know that he was, in all reality, he was a thief. He didn't really care about the poor. He didn't really care, as we know, about Jesus. So here, he says this. It sounds good and sounds noble. It sounds positive. Where Jesus is going to go to the cross and he's going to be put to death for the sins of the world. He's going to be buried. And Jesus is saying, she's really in all reality looking ahead to my death. Now, did Mary understand all of this? Maybe not. But Jesus understands the significance of this. That really, pouring out this ointment, which would have really not just been on his feet, but his head, and when it went down to his body, Jesus is saying, she is preparing my body for burial because in just a few days, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And then he says in verse 8, he looks at the disciples and he says, for you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. This is not Jesus saying he does not care about those who are in need. Obviously, Scripture is clear. We are to care for the orphan and care for the widow. We are to care for those who are in need. But what Jesus is saying, listen, just a few days, I'm going to go away. So while I'm here, worship, honor, be here in this moment with me. Disciples, you'll have another opportunity to care for the poor. But in this moment, you need to honor me. If anybody else said that, we would think, what a conceited person this is. To say something, you need to be concerned about me and not other people, not about the poor, not about any of them. You need to worry about me. But Jesus, who is not just an ordinary man, but is God in the flesh, is the only one in this world that has the authority to be able to say something like this. You do not always have me. So in this moment, honor me. So what are we to take from this story as we think about this? As we think about what has happened here in this supper where they're celebrating Jesus, well, we see this humble devotion. I think what John's doing is contrasting Mary's heart and Judas's heart. He's showing that Mary truly loves Jesus and Judas does not. It's very clear in this where Mary takes something that is so costly, something that is so expensive, things that we deem valuable, we like to lock up and we like to keep safe. And Mary takes this oil that was precious and valuable, and she decides, this is the moment I want to use it. We're not exactly sure how Mary got this oil. Did she inherit this from her family? Did she have enough money to purchase this on her own? Was this left by a husband that she may have had at one time to give her means of life for a while? Some people think this could have been part of a dowry gift to be able to give for a potential husband in the future. We do not know how Mary obtained this, but what we do know is she had some very expensive perfume. And she pours it out in a matter of minutes upon the Lord Jesus to show love and honor and devotion to him. So how can we, God's people, show this same kind of honor and devotion to the Lord? The first thing, remember, we're contrasting Mary and Judas some, is in order to honor Christ, you have to know the Lord Jesus. The reason Judas does not show honor and devotion is because he doesn't love Jesus. The reason Mary does this is because she loves Jesus. She knows his worth. She knows that he should be honored and worshiped. And so for us, if we do not know Christ, if we do not believe and trust in him, then we cannot live our lives to honor him. We are going to honor somebody in this life. whether it's ourselves or whether it's God. Here, Mary is honoring the Lord Jesus. Judas, here's something else to think about. It's not because Judas was ignorant. At this point, by this point, Judas has spent 3 years walking daily with the Lord Jesus, seeing the miracles happen, hearing the teachings from Jesus. So it's not that he is in unbelief because of ignorance, that he doesn't know Jesus. This is a warning to us. He's seen Jesus. He's seen the works of Jesus, and yet still does not believe. There may be some of you this morning who see and have seen and have heard the works of Jesus, and yet still do not believe. There's a second thing that we must see here. That this devotion means that we dedicate our lives to Christ. You have to believe in Him, and then you have to dedicate your life to where your life is a fragrant aroma because of the Lord Jesus. Look at the end of verse 3. John likes details, and he gives us a detail after Mary wipes the feet of Jesus with her hair and pours out this oil. It says, the house was filled with fragrance of the perfume. I don't think that this is just an insignificant detail that now all of a sudden, instead of smelling like good food, it now smells like perfume. This is John saying, look at the love that Mary had for Jesus and how it filled the room. This worship filled the room. This honor filled up the room because of her care and love for the Lord Jesus. And for us to honor Christ with our lives, when we go somewhere, what kind of, sounds strange to think about, what kind of fragrance do we leave behind? Do we leave behind a fragrance of love and devotion to Christ, or selfishness and worldliness and ungodliness? When you enter into a room, do people see Christ in you or see the world in you? Here, Mary pours this out, and the entire house is filled with her love and her devotion. And we also see in this contrasting passage here that not everybody welcomes this kind of worship. Judas did not welcome it. The disciples were a little confused at first, but Mary, no matter, wanted to love Jesus and worship Him and pour out something that was so costly. And when followers of Christ give up their entire lives to follow Christ, yeah, there are going to be people in the world that say, what are you doing? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to live that way and to believe that way and to give up those things. Lord willing, next week in John 12, Jesus will talk about anyone who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. This is the kind of devotion that Jesus is saying. It's a costly devotion. And when we are fully devoted to the worship and the honor of Christ in our lives daily, there are going to be people in this world that are not applauding us because of that, but that are against us because it's difficult, because the world does not understand, because they do not honor Christ. But it does not mean it's not worth doing. So we see this wonderful passage, and then this is another passage right after this of great honor to the Lord. Verses 9 through 19, a familiar story of the triumphal entry. It says in verse 9 that there was a large crowd of Jews who learned that Jesus was there. So word spread that Jesus is there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. So some historians think that there are as many as 2 million Jews that have come to Jerusalem during this time of the Passover from being scattered abroad. And now they are here, and these large crowds are here, and they're hearing about Jesus, and they're hearing about what he did with Lazarus, and they want to get a glimpse. They want to see with their eyes the one that raised Lazarus from the dead and Lazarus who was raised from the dead. Verse 10 tells us that the chief priest planned to put Lazarus to death. They, once again, do not like the attention that Jesus is getting and causing. So they said, we'll just put Lazarus to death. We'll kill him too. We've already got a plot to kill Jesus. What's one more person? We'll take him out as well. Why? Because verse 11, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus, which was the exact point of the miracle to begin with. Jesus did the miracle to raise Lazarus from the dead in order to glorify God and that people would believe in him. And this is what's happening. Many people are seeing it. Many people are witnessing it. They are believing. And the chief priest says, we'll just put him to death and kill him. Some irony there. Because Jesus has already raised him from the dead once. Like Jesus couldn't do that again. But these chief priests and scribes, they don't fully understand who Jesus is. The next day, verse 12, here is the triumphal entry. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. So these are these pilgrims that have made their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And now they have heard that Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. This is what they were waiting for. They thought maybe Jesus would not come back to Jerusalem for the Passover because there was a death warrant on his head. They wanted to put him to death. They wanted to kill him. And so it says, when they hear that he's coming, verse 13, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. And they began to shout, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. They celebrate him. They honor him. They give praise to his name. And you have this picture where Jesus is riding in on a donkey there with palm branches flying and shouts of Hosanna being cried out. And we look at this and we see a great act of worship. And in some ways, there's a great act of honor being done, but it's a little bit misplaced because they don't fully understand who Jesus is. They have it right that he is the king. They say he is the king of Israel. But they have a picture of Jesus as a different kind of king. If you remember in John chapter 6, after Jesus feeds the 5,000, it says that they wanted to proceed, they wanted to make him the king, verse 15 of chapter 6. So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Then and here, they see Jesus as a political, military kind of king that's going to save them from the powers of Rome. Why would they use palm branches? Well, it goes back to what we talked about just a couple of weeks ago in the time between the Old Testament and the New Testament where you had Judas Maccabee that helped to save Jerusalem and the Israelites from the Syrians and run them out of town and rededicate the temple. And his brother, Simon, helped to fully eradicate Jerusalem with the Syrians, getting them out of Jerusalem. And after that, they held a great parade for Simon, and they waved palm branches for him as a military leader that helped to rescue them from the hands of the Syrians. And now, a couple of hundred years later, Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, and these Jewish people are waving palm branches because they think that Jesus is a military, political leader that's going to save them from the powers in the hands of Rome. What they shout is, Hosanna, save us, deliver us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Those things are true. It's absolutely true of who Jesus is, but he did not come to do what they expected. That's why John tells us in verse 14 and 15, he reminds us what kind of king Jesus actually is. It says, Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it. As it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. So Jesus here is not coming as a great political and military leader. He's coming as a humble servant king to do something even greater than they could truly imagine. John wants us to make sure that we see that Jesus riding in on a donkey is not just some happenstance or accident, but it was a fulfillment of Scripture. Verse 15 quotes Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. A fulfilling of what God had called His servant, His son, to do as the humble king. You would think if Jesus was the true king, He would come in on a great white horse. But He is the true king who rode in on a donkey. The same humble king that was born in a manger and not in a palace. The same humble king that came into this world and said, I have nowhere to lay down my head at night. The same humble king that would humble himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. The same humble king that would be buried in a borrowed tomb. And then 3 days later, be raised back to life, being given the name that is above every name. So He is the true king. He's just not the king that they expected. And one day, saw this just a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday nights, Jesus will return on a white horse. He will come back and He will eradicate all evil and all of His enemies. But this day, He rides into Jerusalem on a humble, lowly donkey to show what kind of humble king He was. Verse 16 tells us this, that the disciples did not understand at first. They didn't get it either. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of Him and that they had done these things to Him. So again, the disciples didn't really understand with Mary, and now the next day they're there and they're seeing the crowds crying out, Hosanna, and blessed is the one that comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And they see Jesus riding in on a donkey and there's palm branches, and the disciples are thinking, we're not really sure what's happening right now. But verse 16, John writing later tells us, when Jesus was glorified, after His death and resurrection and His ascension, and what happened then, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And that's exactly what Jesus said would happen in John 14, 26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom My Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So they didn't understand in this moment, but a little bit later, it would click for them. And it would make sense. And they would be able to start putting the pieces of the puzzle together, realizing Jesus was even greater than we could imagine when He was here with us. We believe, but now we believe even more. Our belief is greater. Our worship, our adoration is greater. And this may be true of you, this verse right here, where you've heard these great things. You've witnessed these great things in Scripture of who the Lord Jesus is, and yet you haven't fully understood. It's easy to know the facts, but if they don't hit your heart, then you have not been born again. If the Spirit of God has not taken the truth of the gospel message and applied it to your heart and given you new life, then you may be like these disciples and even like these in the crowd, crying out things that you do not fully understand, participating in worship that you do not fully understand. And yet, God, in His grace and mercy, has sent His Spirit to save us. So here is an opportunity for you to cry out, Lord, I believe, and help my unbelief. Give me faith in the Lord Jesus so that I can worship and honor Him. John continues in the story and tells us in verse 17, so the people who were with Him, Jesus, when He called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to testify about Him. Now, that's an interesting verse because things are getting a little more dangerous to be associated with Jesus and now to be associated with Lazarus. And it says that those who were there are continuing to witness. Why? Because they honor Jesus. They love Jesus. They want to follow Jesus. And they continue to share about the goodness of who he is. And verse 18 says, "For this reason, also, the people went and met him, because they heard that he had performed this sign." As the testimonies and the witnessing of Jesus continues to spread, more and more and more people continue to gather to just get a glimpse, to be able to meet Jesus, to be able to see Jesus, which is exactly what the Pharisees and the chief priests did not want to happen. That's why John tells us in verse 19, "The Pharisees said to one another, 'You see that you are not doing any good. Our plan is not working. Look, the whole world has gone after him.'" To them, their plan is falling apart because more people are following after Jesus. And we know that eventually it will be true that Jesus will go to the cross. But as we said last week, what they meant for evil, God means for good, because that's not the end of the story. It's not just an accidental death that Jesus will die. He will die an atoning death for the forgiveness of our sins and be raised back to life as the first fruits of our own resurrection to give us hope for now and hope for eternity. And so we have much reason, like Mary and like these crowds, to honor the Lord Jesus every single day, if we are true believers of him. So the question for us this morning is not, is Jesus worthy of our honor, but how will we honor him? We know, Scripture is clear, he is worthy of honor, praise, devotion, worship, all of that. The question becomes, how will we as his people apply that to our lives on a daily basis? How will we live for the glory of God this week? How will you, as a Christian husband or wife, honor the Lord Jesus this week? How will you, as a Christian grandparent or parent, honor the Lord Jesus this week? When you go to work tomorrow, when you wake up and you're still retired tomorrow and you're excited, how will you praise the Lord and honor him tomorrow? How will we, as a church, on a weekly basis, worship and serve the Lord Jesus to honor him who is worthy? Again, the question is not if he is worthy, but how will we honor Jesus, the King of Kings, with our lives today, tomorrow, and all the days of our lives? Only by God's grace can we do that for his glory. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. And we thank you for reminding us of these great acts of honor given to the Lord Jesus. Father, forgive us when we do not honor Christ as we ought to. Help us to confess that to you this morning. Help us to repent of that this morning. Help us to leave here seeking to live a life of worship and devotion to the Lord, so that when wherever we go, people will know the kind of fragrance we leave and the words that we proclaim, that we know Jesus, that we've been with Jesus, that we love Jesus. Lord, that is only possible by your grace and by your mercy. And so I ask that that would be true of us as your people here this morning. It's in Christ's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and respond by singing, "Be Thou My Vision."